Hello and welcome to Encounter Radio, the show where we hear the stories of ordinary people who are launched into lives of extraordinary mission. This is a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN. And I'm Aaron Richards, your host today, joined here with my co-host and brother in Christ, Dan Demite. Hey, Dan.
Hello, Aaron. We're going to have some fun today, right?
Yeah, we are so excited. Why don't we kick off with prayer today? Dan, would you open us?
Oh, yes. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good and gracious God, we thank you that you are a God of family, that you have revealed yourself as Father and Son and Holy Spirit. That you have revealed yourself as a God that is oriented towards community and family. And we thank you for that, Lord. And so we pray that you would send an abundant amount of grace upon all of the families that are listening today, all the listeners and their families, their children, their marriages. Lord, I pray that you would unleash from the heavens just an outpouring of grace upon families in the church today like never before. We pray for a restoration of holy families, a restoration of fatherhood and motherhood and relationships.
Amen. God, we love you and we want to be like you. You show us that the image of relationship, the image that we're created to be in, is the image of you. So let us live lives that are selfless and that are fully given. We pray your guidance on each one of us and blessings on our families in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome. What an exciting show we have for you today. Spring is in the air here in Columbus, Ohio. I don't know if you're listening to a rerun. Spring may not be in the air anymore, but right now it is.
I'm sitting in a blizzard right now.
we're switching things up today, and we're kind of excited to give a new perspective on some good questions that we've received from many members of our audience and people who come to us regularly. Dan, you and I have been in youth ministry for 16 years professionally each.
Indeed.
And we celebrated a couple of really cool events recently. So as youth ministers, I know I like to say that both of us had a really beautiful experience of becoming fathers kind of in parallel as we entered into a role of spiritual fatherhood of high school students. And recently, you know, I look back fondly on the kids that came through our youth ministry program early in my post high school years when I was being a youth minister to kids who were 18 years old as a 19 year old, and it was ridiculous and complicated and full of lots of messiness. And I look back now and see those relationships as some of the ones that I'm most proud of. This past year, we were invited to celebrate one of the first real youth ministry weddings that have come out of our old days in high school youth ministry, and it was really cool just to see how our investment in the spiritual maturity and the spiritual life of this young couple kind of blossomed into this beautiful thing that was such a testimony of the Christian community that we had established and worked for so hard at St. Agatha and St. Andrew in our early years. And just recently, last week, we also went and celebrated the ordination to the diaconate for two of the guys who have been with us from the beginning in our youth ministry programs and through Damascus and Catholic Youth Summer Camp. It's just so cool to see God's plan impacted in generations.
Yeah, I you know, it's been just absolutely amazing over the last few years to watch so many of our young people get married to each other that like grew up in youth group together or yep. missionaries together or were, and they're just finding a new purpose. I would say like a mission based marriage.
Amen.
Right, where it's like we're getting married because we're evenly yoked and our hearts are oriented towards ushering in the kingdom of God, that we don't want to just be worldly marriages, but we want to have kingdom focused or kingdom building marriages. And then likewise, just watching our young people grow and graduate our youth ministry programs and either enter religious life and take final professions, which is nuts, or be ordained to the priesthood. And then this week, watching two of our boys get ordained to the diaconate. It's just such a beautiful grace. I remember one of my favorite moments as a youth minister ever was, it may have been a year ago. We had, so there's a couple that was getting married, and they were just on fire. They were missionaries with us at our summer camp in the past, and they were both in Aaron and I's youth group. They had served on our core teams, and they were getting married to each other. And during their vows, the priest had invited them up. The priest who was celebrating the marriage was also an alumni from our youth group and our summer camp. So you've got this priest who's celebrating and witnessing, I guess, the marriage between two of our youth group kids and our campers, and he was a part of our camp. And then the best man was a Franciscan friar who was also a staff member at our summer camp. And then the maid of honor was someone who was in our youth group in the early years. And so it was just this like insane moment where I couldn't hold back the tears because I was watching, if you will, just this grouping of people up there as the sacrament was taking place, the priest, the best man, the maid of honor, and then the couple, all being a fruit of our youth ministry, but also all the different vocations. Like there was the priesthood, there was the religious life, there was the married life, and then the maid of honor was still single. And it was just like, whoa, this is nuts. Like you just have this beautiful expression of when we raise people in holiness, they actually pursue God's plan for their life as opposed to our plan, you know? Like, honestly, I probably would have like had other thoughts and ideas for those people. Like, and so, but they discover God's plan. And so what we want to do on the show is actually take some of the questions we've received over the time and just throw out some questions about family life and raising children and just give our perspective, which will be fun.
Yeah.
So since we're talking about you got more?
Major disclaimer first. So we're talking about family. Family is the theme of today's event. And we haven't invited either of our wives to participate in this conversation.
Yeah, that's always a good idea.
Or anyone beyond ourselves. I love to make this disclaimer as well that Dan, you and I are both in our early 30s. Each of us have four kids, and we're preaching to an audience of listeners who may have been at this a lot longer than we have. And
I don't believe that to be the case.
in all of the best ways. And I love to give just such the beautiful little caveat that what we share today, we're sharing from our currently lived experience. So we can share certainly as men who are in the process. And I'm just overjoyed to be able to enter into conversation today and to share kind of the fruits that God's placed in our lives and the perspectives that we have, totally knowing that our wives would probably have very different ones. And many of you listeners may also have very different ones as well.
Absolutely. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. Aaron and I are just people that are trying to figure life out like you guys are.
Absolutely. No, that wasn't an apology. That was just a context.
Yeah.
How about that?
And I think it's really neat. I mean, I have loved being in youth ministry for so long because we've seen middle schoolers, elementary school kids, high schoolers, young adults. We've just seen so many ages of adolescence. And so while we haven't really raised our own children through all these ages, of child rearing, we have child reared, that's a word, so many, and have watched so many parents and so many different techniques and so many, different ways of living family and in the Catholic context. And guess what? There's no one right way. There's no perfect ideal. Like you do this and you're going to be successful. And I think that's the cool thing that that God has fashioned so many ways the families have chosen to raise their children, and it produces awesome fruit. Awesome. All right, so I go to the first question.
Why don't we take our first break, and then we'll start with the questions after we get back.
Oh, that sounds like a fun idea. So you're listening to Encounter, a show that is brought to you by EWTN Radio and St. Gabriel Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We will be back in 2 minutes with our first question.
Ever wake up and have your brain just start racing, trying to solve every problem in your life? That's okay. Your brain's just doing what it's supposed to do. It's a problem-solving machine. And while that can be helpful, if you don't keep it in check, that can be really stressful. St. Paul tells us what to do in that situation. He wrote, "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, think about such things, and the God of peace will be with you." Paul wrote that from prison while awaiting trial and execution, so he had plenty of things to obsess about, but he didn't. He thought of things above, and that led to his peace and joy even behind bars. When you find yourself obsessing, read an uplifting book. Or better, try the Gospel of John. Or maybe pray a rosary. But whatever you do, get in the driver's seat of your own thoughts and focus on what lifts you up, not what drags you down. For more from my book, I Am, visit rewriteyourname.com. I'm Chris Stefanik from Real Life Catholic.
Welcome back to Encounter Radio, the show where we hear the stories of ordinary people launched into lives of extraordinary mission. And once again, we're addressing the topic of family today. And we thought this would be a great opportunity to answer some of the questions that Dan and I often receive as professionals in the field of youth ministry and in camping and conference centers. And how do we answer parents and families when they bring these kind of questions to us? The first question today comes from one of our listeners about fostering vocations in their child's life. Psalm 127, as you know, of course, says that our children are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man, and we have a quiver full to launch into the world. And our question is in regarding vocations. How can I foster vocations in my child's life to have the greatest kingdom impact? I don't know, Dan, are you thinking about raising your children as an opportunity to fill seminaries and religious convents for the sake of kingdom impact?
I'm just excited. My children are rambunctious and have a lot of personality. And sometimes as a...
That is true. I can testify to that.
And sometimes as a parent, you're like, man, you know, there's other children at Mass that are so calm and quiet, and my kid seemingly is murdering their sibling right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm just excited because you just look at them, even though they're young, and you say, wow, like, what does God want to do with this person, right? Like, God has this big personality that he's created. How can I, as a parent, like, direct that personality, direct that character and into what they will be as an adult, you know, like that God has brought this untamed animal into the world, this untamed lion into the world. And how can I make that lion someone who has dominion in the kingdom?
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just last weekend, as Dan and I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we had opportunity to celebrate the diaconate ordination for four guys here from Columbus, the Diocese of Columbus, Ohio, and two of them, Deacon Seth Keller and Deacon Michael Fulton, have been with us as a part of our ministry from the time when they were super duper young. In fact, it's such a blessing. I know that Deacon Mike and Deacon Seth as well have both identified that it was at Catholic Youth Summer Camp where they heard, maybe for the first time, but certainly in a clear way, God really calling them on the path of vocational discernment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's neat. Aaron and I were really blessed when we were young and first started in ministry. We had a mentor, Father Jeff Koning, who had a vision for vocational discernment that I thought was it really spoke to me and transformed me on how I raise my own children and how we've raised children in ministry. And that's, his phrase was just seek holiness, that we have a universal call to holiness and we don't have a vocations crisis. We have a holiness crisis, and we want to foster an environment of holiness, not necessarily a vocations environment. And if we can help our young people, our children, and the children in our parishes to really seek holiness, seek God's will, seek a life set apart from the rest of the world, a life on the narrow path and not the wide path that leads to destruction. Ultimately, when they find holiness, they will find their vocation, and they're going to find a vocation in the priesthood or the religious life or the married life, right?
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Father Jeff, if you're listening, thank you for the seeds of wisdom that you planted in our lives. We love you. But yeah, that's totally the reality. I mean, I look at the way that Monica and I are raising our kids, and one of our goals as we enter into daily life, as we enter into conversation, as we enter into daily prayer, is to maintain the presence of priests and religious in our life in a way that's normal, and in a way that actually just builds up and encourages them, right?
Exactly.
That when they look to the priests and the religious that they experience in their life, it's not, they're not seeing somebody who is different and apart from them or intimidating, but they're seeing people who come over for dinner. They're seeing people who are a part of their daily conversation. Like they're seeing people who they want to be like when they grow up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I think if you're trying to foster a vocation or help have your children be open to vocations, normalizing the vocations are so important.
Absolutely.
And so taking, like inviting seminarians and priests and deacons over for dinner. I know that we like to, just every time, every opportunity we get our daughters around religious sisters and just a normal conversation. And a lot of times I find that I have to be the facilitator of a normal conversation, mm-hmm. you know, because, the sister may not know exactly how to, relate initially to a child and the child may not know exactly how to relate to. And so like you're almost helping guide a normal conversation or facilitating that so that the kids have
hang out with normal sisters.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm not suggesting I've met a bunch of like that. No. Boy, that's called foot and mouth disease right there. No, but I think too, like just that culture of normalizing it. I remember I asked my son when he was little. No, I didn't ask him. I'm sorry. Someone else asked
him.
If he wanted to be a priest when he grows up, and he's like, I don't want to be a priest because those clothes they wear, masks, make them look chubby. So apparently the vestments, that's his perspective.
It's, if that is the biggest issue that stands in the way.
That is the biggest vocations crisis right now. Yeah. So just normalizing it, right?
Yeah.
Like, and they love, I mean, the priests that we've introduced them to and that they hang out with, like they're friends, right? Like
yeah.
It was so amazing taking Giovanni, my son, to the ordination this week because Seth, who was being ordained to the diaconate, is one of Giovanni's like superstars. Like he's a superhero. Like, and Seth always wore a shirt with like a Superman logo, and so they call him Super Seth. And
he still wears it under his cassock.
So I was telling the kids, I was like, well, Seth's gonna like get this ontological mark on his soul, this indelible mark that will be there for like all of eternity as deacon. And and I was like, this is like a supernatural reality that's happening in his life. And so I was like, he really is Super Seth now. And he's like, well, I'm going to call him Super Duper Seth now. I was like, well, as long as you call him Deacon Super Duper Seth, that's okay.
That's great. You know, even as we are like defining a context for how our kids think about their futures too, I think that our words as parents, as grandparents, as role models in the lives of young people can have such a great effect. Monica, actually, my wife Monica corrects me all the time and helps me to grow in this. You know, how many times do we default when like dreaming for our kids' lives that, you know, someday when you grow up and get married, someday when you have kids for yourself? I mean, that's just like that's the typical cultural conversation with us, you know, as Americans. And I think that oftentimes I'll be leading into a discussion with my kids or something. I'll make a comment like that and Monica will chime in or be a sister or be a priest, right?
Yeah.
And it's just good that we as parents, we as leaders, we as role models can actually, normalize and enter into the conversation and the process of actually making vocations, just a part of our normal conversation, right?
Yeah. Like even pointing out what the priest or the religious sister is doing in a level in which your children can understand it. And so like, hey, like, son, you're really good at speaking in front of others. Look how father's speaking in front of others. Or like, you really love teaching people about Jesus. Look how sister's teaching people about Jesus, right? Like, and connecting it to their gifts and their talents or their interests and like, and helping them see how their religious vocations are actually accomplishing that they're just not people who only do mass or only pray, you know, but like helping contextualize their gifts and their talents with those vocations.
Yeah.
And I think the other neat thing is like helping them understand the supernatural realities that are going on as opposed to the natural realities that they see. So like, you know, it's not that father celebrates mass. It's the father is bringing Jesus Christ to thousands of people every year, like helping them understand the mission oriented. And that was like we started talking about like seek holiness, but I think it's not only teaching our kids to seek holiness, because when they seek holiness, they're going to discover a vocation. But it's also seek mission.
Yep.
And no matter what, it's not, should I serve the Lord or should I not serve the Lord? Or should I live a life of ministry or should I not live a life of ministry? Every single child is called to be raised to serve the Lord and live a life of ministry, right? Now the question is, okay, if you're called to live a life of ministry, how are you going to do that? Are you going to do that as a priest, as a religious, as a lay person, as a business? Like what mode of full-time ministry are you going to assume when you grow up?
Yeah. I think it's funny, you know, most of our responses so far to this question have been kind of geared toward an audience where we're assuming that you would actually want your kids to be pursuing a vocation to consecrate a life within the church. Certainly I know when going back to Father Jeff and with the vocations office, even here in our own local diocese, that a lot of the conversation that we've had in the past has been, how can I, as a parent, enter into the renewal of my own mind so that I can ask Jesus to, break me out of maybe the expectations that I've had, so that I can place my kids on the altar, so that mm-hmm. I can give my kids back to the Lord, so that he can do what his plan and what his desire is for their lives.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great point. I think that's hard. And I think that if that is speaking to your heart, maybe right now you can just lay your children's future on the altar. Lord, I just pray that you would allow all of us to be like an Abraham that places our child Isaac on the altar as an offering to you mm-hmm. to do whatever you want, that we would abandon ourselves to you and to your will. And, I think that that idea of placing our children on the altar goes both ways, right? Yep. Like that maybe sometimes I want my kids so bad to be a priest or religious that's actually not healthy. Like yeah. we want our children to discover God's dream for their life, as opposed to our dream for their life. Yep. And so being able to place that, their vocation on the altar, that I don't have to shove the concept of the priesthood down my child's throat, and I don't have to shove religious life down their throat. Like, I just want to shove holiness. Like, I want to expose them, take it, love Jesus or die. No, but I want to expose them to holiness and mission and allow Jesus to invite them into a vocation. Amen. Because that's what vocation is. And I think the best thing is when I live holiness in my vocation and when I live mission in my vocation, they see that vocation is oriented towards holiness and mission.
Yeah.
And, marriage is amazing, and mm-hmm. we need so many more awesome, holy Catholic marriages that are mission oriented. And so, if I'm living marriage and it's not mission oriented, I've missed the mark, and I'm not witnessing honestly to the vocation of marriage.
Yeah.
Aaron, could you say, just because I think this is really important to foster a vocation in a young person's life, helping prepare them for mission when they grow up. What are you mm-hmm. doing to kind of help prepare your children for mission?
Well, we get a little special opportunity because, 2 years ago when Monica and I, we were in a process of discernment that probably not many of our listeners had the opportunity to do. We were discerning whether we wanted to leave our beautiful home in Kanawha, Winchester, Ohio, and actually move our family up to Damascus Catholic Mission Campus to enter into kind of a family missionary lifestyle. And ultimately the Lord pushed us in that direction, that we had an awesome school that we were super happy with. We were in close proximity to my lovely parents-in-law, who offered free and regularly available childcare
yeah.
in a lovely environment. And we had to enter into that process of realizing that, okay, if we're going to answer God's call to holiness and mission in our lives, we're not going to do it solo. Holiness and pursuit of God's call on my life as a father or Monica's life as a mother isn't going to be something that we do by ourselves and then try to bring our family, along for the ride. But this is like, I want to challenge you, our listeners, to look at your family's mission as a family mission and not as my mission, not as my wife's mission,
mm-hmm.
Or not even as my kid's mission, but how is God calling us to be a missionary family?
Yeah, I love that. I like to say that it's healthy to find a family apostolate,
yeah.
that there's something you do it together as a family that is the missionary activity of the church. And maybe, I've seen some beautiful families make like the pro-life movement their family
yep.
apostolate.
Yep.
And that's formed. I've seen kids come out of like very pro-life apostolate families, and their kids are now like living as missionaries for the pro-life movement, or like lawyers that are defending pro-life law. It's just amazing. These families have produced incredible children yeah. because of their apostolate. Or like, having like an apostolate in service to the poor and like being family oriented towards like dad and mom are going to serve the poor and we're going to go along and serve the poor with them. And like that fosters a spirit of generosity in children, a spirit of simplicity in children, and just how the young people want to see their parents, live a life of mission and then welcome them into it. Right. Yep. And so try to ask yourselves, like, I may have a particular mission. How can I welcome my children into that mission? Or just to scatter, like, I know I like to try to expose my kids to different types. So like, of course, our mission is ministry, youth ministry, especially. And so our kids are always around our camp. They're around our youth ministry. They're around those who serve with us. But then trying to introduce them to ministry to the poor and introduce them to ministry, in the parish, introduce them to ministry of like service, and hospitality and stuff like that. It's really good and healthy just to kind of give them a smorgasbord of opportunity.
I was given a teaching a few months ago about raising supernatural families, right? And one of the questions I asked the parents, I was like, how many of you, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think back to some of the most impactful spiritual experiences that you've had as an adult. And listeners, I'll invite you to think, don't close your eyes if you're driving, of some of the most impactful spiritual experiences that you've had as an adult in your adult life. And then the follow-up question I asked was, okay, so how many of those involved your kids, right? And I know for me, like, one of the most impactful spiritual experiences that I've had year after year has been my mission work in Appalachia and in service to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And up until 2 years ago, I had never involved any of my family in that, right? Yeah. So my trips to Cranks Creek, Kentucky were just something that dad did when he left home for a week, right? Yeah. And it wasn't something that actually involved the mission and the life of my family. So praise the Lord, now that Leah is 10 years old, I've brought her down to Cranks for the last 2 years. And now Monica and I have worked together to actually integrate that mission into the prayer of our family for that week, so that our family's actually together on mission, whether we're there or whether we're home, supporting each other.
Yeah.
We've got lots of questions today.
Yeah,
I want to make sure we don't spend too much time on this one, but it'll lead into our
following. And I think the reason this is so important is because marriage and holy orders are the two sacraments of mission.
Yeah.
That's the name of them in the church, so the sacraments of mission. And so it's not, if we want to raise our children for a vocation, it has to be oriented towards raising missionary disciples.
Amen.
With our children.
Before we escape the conversation of vocations, parents who may be looking for resources about how you can be a better parent in the process of raising a child who's discerning, I just want to throw this resource out there because I know we have it. Our vocations website at our own Diocese of Columbus, www.seekholiness.com, has an awesome section of resources for parents. So as we move into our next question, I just want to throw that out there. Seekholiness.com. Look at all the parent resources we've got there about how to properly lead and discern and even go through your own process.
That's awesome. Thank you. Okay, so let's switch to this topic. If they're going to hear their vocational call, they have to know how to hear the person who calls them.
Yes,
so
sir.
This is a great question. What are some ideas for family prayer? How can we foster prayer in the lives of our children? And that ultimately is going to help them in their vocation as well. Why don't you start?
As we were talking about a life on mission and a family on mission, I have a great encouragement for families to actually, as you're seeking that family apostolate, actually let that inform the way that your family prays.
Yes.
So
I love that.
So for example, and we don't do this on a daily basis anymore, but when we first moved to Damascus, Monica and I wanted to so intentionally, direct our kids to realizing that one of our primary missions as a family was in service of our missionary body at Damascus.
Yep.
So, I didn't want my kids to think that, oh my gosh, all this time that dad's spending or that mom's spending with these missionaries is now like pulling me away from our family, right? And, so every night when we prayed, every night we will traditionally typically go around and we'll share our petitions for that night. And we just added a new descriptor to our petitions each night. So, in addition to what has God placed on your heart that you want to pray for, we also, for, I don't know, probably 6 months, 8 months, a year, we went through the process of saying, what missionary is God calling you uniquely to partner with in prayer tonight? So we saw the missionary body of Damascus as a particular call that God had placed on our family's apostolate. And because of that, we just oriented our family's prayer around it, right?
I love that. Yeah, we do the same exact thing. And it's like, one of the big things on my heart has been, I've got such a Franciscan spirituality, but I haven't been called to a Franciscan apostolate as necessarily. And so we've made intercession for the poor and the suffering a key pillar mm-hmm. for us, because we wanted to expose our children to the mission of poverty and the service to the poor. And so being able to make that a core prayer and petition and intercession has actually enhanced our children's desire to serve the poor, which has been really neat to watch. I remember when I was younger, we were getting married. Well, I was married. We were having children, and we were trying to have family prayer, but like my kids were like newborn and like 2 years old. And I was like, what do I do? Like, how do I do it? And I asked a mentor of mine, like, what should we do for family prayer? Cause I don't want to get this wrong. And he said, you know, it doesn't matter so much what you do, just that you do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the most important thing, is that you just need to pray as a family, as like every night. And yeah. There's not a huge formula that has to be had. I want to give some ideas. I'm sure we can share a lot of different ideas, but the most important thing is that you do it, right? Yeah. That, like, you just say, this is what we're gonna do every day, even if it's 5 minutes, right? Like, so in the absence of like the perfect, because you may be like, well, we're gonna pray a rosary every single night, and then in the absence of the perfect, like, if you can't do that every night, just do it. Like, mm-hmm. just get 5 minutes in of petitions before bed or whatever it is. Do you want to throw out some ideas back
Absolutely.
And forth? That'll be fun. What
yeah.
do you guys like?
Yeah, so here's the I'm so proud of, this is like my greatest success as a parent.
If you do say so yourself.
No, so my kids, I love the routine of prayer in my mornings, right? And as a parent, particularly of a one-year-old that has been utterly decimated in the last year.
Why? I don't understand. I've never experienced that.
Yeah. I was sharing with Monica last night, I think the last month I've been the most tired that I've ever been in my entire life.
Yeah.
And so when my alarm goes off in the morning, as I'm sure this is an experience that many parents have, like, my kids will already be up and chipper and ready for the day, and they'll be already eating breakfast or playing video games or reading a book, right? And we made such a simple change that has just totally reformatted the way that we start our days as a family. So at the beginning of every day, when I get up to do my prayer in the morning, I will now wake up my two school-aged children, Leah and Diggory, and our expectation is just every day we're going to start our day with 5 minutes of reading scripture. Mm-hmm. So they were already up. They're already seeking something actively to do, and rather than me sitting in my chair trying to read the Lord's Word and pray, and them sitting in the chairs beside me playing a video game or reading, you know, a book from school, I still want to give them opportunity to do that, but now we've just got something else to do first. So the first thing that we do every morning as a family, even at 8 years old and 10 years old, is we start with reading scripture.
Yeah.
And, it's hilarious. My son Diggory, actually, he's got this, this internal, like, obsession with audio books. I never experienced that as a child. I don't know if anybody else does, but he'll sit with an audiobook and listen to it for hours and hours and hours, just because he loves to be read to. And one of the things that we've done is I pulled up my phone the other day and I was like, you know what? My Bible app on my phone will actually read scripture. So I give him headphones and he'll plug in headphones and he'll listen to the Bible read for hours.
That's perfect, because like, there's all these battle stories. I could just picture Diggory like loving the Old Testament, like, yes, this is awesome.
But it, honestly, at 8 years old, just by simply changing one bit of perspective, one simple suggestion 6 months ago or a year ago, has actually, Diggory's probably read more of scripture than I have. Like, he reads scripture more consistently than I do, because it's now the way that his life is oriented, and praise the Lord for that.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's a beautiful thing about the church. They provide us with so many things, right? Like, there's like what I like to do with family prayer is really change it up so that it doesn't become robotic.
Yeah.
And so we'll do, we'll almost have like, and sometimes I'll announce on Sunday, I'll announce like this week we're doing like Bible week or yeah. we're doing like,
no, you shared this with me last
like
week,
prophetic
awesome.
Week. And like, so we'll have different series that we go through, if you will, based on the week. And so, and I love the morning. I think it's your bookends, right? Are the
yep.
most important for family prayer. So like you have to have some plan in the morning before the day gets started. And like we do a morning consecration and then we'll add whatever the kids are struggling with. I like to add a scripture verse that kind of will help them in that. So like, if they're struggling with patience and kindness, like love is patient, love is kind. So we'll end our consecration with that. Or like, they were struggling with like confidence at one point. So we were doing like, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And
yeah.
they're memorizing scripture. They're also, but then like, and then in the evenings, what we would do is like, okay, so we're gonna read through the Bible this week and do a Bible story that night. Or we would do, Divine Mercy Chaplet Week. And then each night would be a different, person. A different like, group of people that we'd offer the Divine Mercy Chaplet for, or like a prophetic night. Like my favorite is some nights we'll just say, okay, we're just going to pray over our daughter, Gemma, tonight. And so like everyone in the family will lay hands on Gemma and every person go around and just intercede for Gemma. Or okay, like, and so we, the whole week we'd pick a different person and pray over that person. Or, or we'll do a Decade of the Rosary. Okay, who wants to pick the Decade of the Rosary? You know, stuff like that.
So Diggory is celebrating his first communion on May 18th at St. John Newman, and I'm so excited for that. And as we're about halfway through now, and it's been going awesome every night for our family's prayer for the entire 15 days leading up to Diggory's first communion, we have actually dedicated our entire prayer for words that Jesus wants to speak about Diggory's first communion to him. So at the end of 15-18 days of preparation for First Communion, Diggory's going to have like 18 days of the four members of our family who are actively praying and interceding and listening for God's voice for him about this particular moment in his life. It's just been awesome to see that. The other kids are getting jealous now, so we're going to have to do something exciting for them after that.
Yeah. And I love like we have a treasure chest of like memorized prayers, like novenas, chaplets,
yep,
like
absolutely.
Rosary. But also kids have a unique ability to be receptive to unmemorized prayers, if you will, like the creative prayers of the Spirit, where you just give them a prompting. So like sometimes the only prompting I'll say is, okay, kids, we're going to be quiet for 2 minutes and we're going to ask Jesus, what do you want to say to me? And then they ask Jesus, what do you want to say to me? And then they each share what Jesus is saying to them. And then sometimes that will become like a discussion of like, well, why do you think Jesus said that? Why don't you ask Jesus right now, Jesus, why did you say that to me? And then they ask Jesus, why did you say that? And then they share that. And it was neat. We've been doing this for a while. And sometimes it's that, or maybe some nights we'll say, all right, Jesus, give us an image. Just paint a picture in our mind and tell us why you're giving us that picture. And kids have such an ability to tap into the creative aspects of the Holy Spirit that they'll get a picture right away and they'll be able to ask Jesus, why'd you share that picture? And it was really neat. We were praying with my mother-in-law one night who is just wonderful, but she's not like hardcore charismatic, you know? And the question I asked the kids and those praying with us, so my mother-in-law as well, I said, well, Jesus, what do you want to say to me? And my mother-in-law initially said, well, I don't hear Jesus saying anything. And my son is just like, oh, that's okay, Grandma. Like, just ask Jesus the question again. And then, and he like helped guide her through how to hear God's voice in prayer, which was just so neat. And then over the year, she's become so much more confident in sharing with our family. And almost I've noticed in her life, she's become quicker to hear God speak to her because we've normalized it in her life.
Yeah. That can be so intimidating. I imagine there are some of you right now who might be hearing that thinking, oh my gosh, of course these guys do that because they're professionals, right? You have permission as parents, as grandparents, to actually raise kids who are going to have a higher level of spiritual anointing than you do.
Yes.
In fact, that should be our goal, right?
Yep.
That our kids actually come to excel and surpass us in their pursuit of holiness. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So don't ever be intimidated by the fact that, man, I might be asking my kids to enter into a process in prayer that actually, you know, is beyond what I think I'm capable of or beyond what my experience has been.
I think too, that just for the high schoolers, I think there's a, like as kids get older, it may feel harder to pray with the kids.
Yeah.
And, I would just encourage you to, to keep providing a forum where you ask them, like, what would you like to do in prayer? Like, how can we make our family prayer time as fruitful for you as possible?
Yep.
And give them a little bit more leadership, a little bit more authority, in the prayer time so that you get their buy-in.
Yep.
I find that while a lot of families have a hard time, it's easy. It seems like a lot of families have an easier time having family prayer when the kids are younger and a harder time when they're older. And I think the way you preserve that is by just start giving your children more spiritual leadership of the family, where, you know, like, maybe assign this week, John, you're in charge of family prayer. Mm, so
that's a great idea.
Whatever you would like to do this week, like, that's the course for it. So, and give them options. Like, we'll do the Chapel of Divine Mercy, the Rosary, Scripture. Like, we can write prayers to the poor, whatever it is that you want, but you're in charge of family prayer this week. That way they actually have real leadership over this, and you're teaching them how to someday have leadership over their family or over their family of God, if they're called to religious life or priesthood. And so that they get used to leading people in prayer.
Yeah.
And it becomes normal in their life. And
amen.
Yeah.
Yep,
awesome.
That's great.
Should we take a short break?
Let's do it.
All right. You've been listening to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people and launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We're going to be right back with a few more awesome questions.
Bishop Robert Barron.
When you say, well, my ego is the center of my life, my freedom. Okay, it sounds great. What I can envision, what I can desire in the immediacy of the moment. I mean, what a dull prospect. But to say that God's purposes are now my purposes, well, that opens up, as Paul says in Ephesians, you know, this power already at work in me that can do infinitely more than I can ask or imagine. Or the Lord saying to Peter, you know, when you were a young man, you tied your own belt and went where you wanted to go. That's what young people do. But don't get stuck there, because then the Lord says, well, you're an old man. Someone else will tie you up and take you where you don't want to go. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. So you don't read that as something terrible. That's liberating. That's wonderful. Some greater power will tie you up and take you maybe where you never imagined you'd go. When you get beyond that little narrow space of your own ego and you're opened up now into the great space, that's what happens when Jesus becomes Lord. Now you're living.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people and launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. So my name is Dan Dimite. I'm joined here with Aaron Richards.
Hey,
and
everybody.
We've been having a lot of fun doing some Q&A today on family. And
we never clapped for anybody today.
Hey, clap for Jesus Christ. We worship you. We adore you, Jesus. You are amazing. I pray that Jesus would be the Lord of your family. And that he would be the Lord of your heart.
Yeah.
We're going to close today with one last question, and I just think it's awesome. I think it's a really neat question that every single parent maybe hasn't asked but has to answer. And that's, how do I make sure my child excels in our parish programs, whether that's youth ministry or parish school of religion?
Yeah.
How do we make sure that our children excel in our parish programs?
Yeah. You know, when we, in kind of defining our programs that we offer through Catholic Youth Summer Camp in Damascus, we had to answer this on an organizational level really intentionally, because our goal as an organization is to see parishes and families and schools transformed, right? To bring revival to parishes and schools and families. And, we get this question 100 times a year where some family will have a transformational experience through this awesome program at Catholic Youth Summer Camp or on one of our retreats. And then they'll go back to their parish and some degree of disappointment will set in, right? Where they're asking themselves, oh my gosh, you know, I don't have our awesome missionaries up on the altar leading our masses. I don't have, the amazing music or whatever the case may be. And not to say at all ever that our parishes are presenting the gospel poorly, but it's a process of actually asking ourselves, like, how can I create a level of ownership and expectation in my parish life so that my kids can actually be formed and fed? Right.
Yeah.
I'm certain that you haven't as an adult, and I haven't as an adult, walked away from every parish liturgy that I've ever been a part of saying, oh man, like that was so spiritually edifying. Right. But there's a process where we enter into maturity where we realize that, I need to, as an adult, have ownership of my own relationship with Jesus to the point where I can participate in my parish and actually be fed, right? Where I can actually participate in my parish life and my experience of liturgy and walk away and have my heart be edified. And this is such a good thing that we need to model for our kids.
Yeah. So what have you done as in the process of accomplishing that?
Yeah. So what we do with our kids is we will actually, from an early age, engage them in the process of like claiming responsibility for their participation in liturgy. Okay. Like, when is the last time that I actually set the expectation for my kids that I want them to actively engage in worship at our parish liturgies?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think sometimes, you know, even you and I can walk into a parish experience. And when, you know, if there's a song that doesn't necessarily appeal to our particular styling preferences, that I'll roll my eyes and determine that I'm not going to participate or sing in that time. Right.
Yeah.
But no, we begin the conversation on our way to Mass. And we actually, we talk about, like, what does participation in liturgy mean? What does participation in music mean? What does it mean to give our hearts to our songs today? We at St. John Newman, we've got a great incentive because we have donuts after Mass at 11 o'clock on Sundays.
Glory, glory.
So how do you earn a donut is you pray hard, right?
That works with high schoolers as well, right?
Earning
a donut.
It should.
Absolutely. This isn't just like 2-year-olds. This is everyone.
Oh my gosh.
That's how my wife motivates me. If you pray hard at Mass today, Dan, I'll get you a donut. Yes, yes, I will.
That's exactly right. And I mean, is that bribery? Maybe it is. But here's the deal. If I can bribe my kids to the point where they establish a habit of regular worship and liturgy, like, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, when they leave my home, they're going to be, you know, a little less healthy because they ate donuts so much. But they're also going to have a regular habit of prayer.
Yeah.
Where they're actually invest. And that's just in our daily, in our weekly liturgies at Mass. I think the same thing goes in our youth ministry programs and in our PSR programs. You know, as a youth minister for years, the biggest indicator for me as to the effective direction that our youth program was supposed to be going was I would look at the fruit that it was bearing in the lives of the kids that were experiencing it, right? So if a high school student ever came to me and expressed a desire to be placed in a role of leadership, you can sure as heck bet that was going to be the direction that we were going to be pivoting our program, right?
Yeah.
So if parents, if you are experiencing in any way with your own children that I don't want to be at youth group, I don't want to be engaged in our PSR program and our CCD program, like I don't like being at Mass, that this is boring, right? You can give them Dan's tagline that Mass isn't boring, you're boring. And then smack them. No, don't do that. But actually charge them with mission that if you want to invest in this program, just like we were speaking about in family prayer, like if you want this to be something that builds you up, then you've got to take some responsibility in actually making it what you want it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to normalize that, like, it's not like our kids wake up on Sunday mornings and are like, yay, we got to go to Mass,
no,
right? Like,
not at all.
and so it's not like we've fought, but it's about the constant presence in their life. And I love your advice of teaching them to sing. Like, that's so important to engage in liturgy. So try to make it as engaging as possible. We try to sit up front so that they can see.
Yeah.
Like, if you're towards the back or even in the middle, like, try to participate in a Mass from like a little kid's perspective. All you see is butts, right? Like, you don't want to go to look at butts for an hour. Like, that's
obscene.
Like, and so you have to like be up front so they can actually see the altar servers, see the priest like preparing all of the sacramentality of the church. Help open their eyes to that. Like, help them understand why are there stained glass windows? What do these represent? Why is there candles? Why is there incense? Like, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So they see it from a different perspective. When they get older, teaching young people, especially middle schoolers and high schoolers, about the parts of the Mass is so valuable, right? Like, maybe you don't know, if you haven't read like Scott Hahn's Lamb's Supper, it's great because there's sections in Lamb's Supper that just kind of breaks down all the different parts of the Mass. So you can actually welcome your children and talk about a different part of the Mass so mm-hmm. that they know, well, what's happening at the offertory. How should I be praying during the offertory? How should I be praying during the penitential rite? How should I be praying during the epiclesis? Like, there's all these different aspects of the liturgy that you can draw them into
yeah.
if you do your work. I remember, too, and we should have brought this up on family prayer. Well, I remember when I was a kid, my my dad, and I love my dad so much. He taught me so much natural virtue, but he never sang at church. And as a little kid, that had a big impact on me. I was like, mm-hmm. Dad doesn't look like he wants to be here. And fathers, your leadership is so important. In family prayer, your leadership is critical. And at Mass, your leadership is critical. And so often, your leadership is just witness. Like, yeah. If you lead prayer in your family, and if you pray at Mass, and if you're involved in your parish community, statistically, your children are going to remain Catholic. It's almost like the statistics are insane at how likely that when a father is engaged in the spiritual life, how likely their children are to remain engaged in the spiritual mm-hmm. life. So you don't have to force things upon them. You just have to practice it and believe it and be authentic, and your kids will see that.
Yeah.
I also just, how do you engage them, your children, in youth ministry or PSR? A lot of times, what I would get with kids, like, that would come to youth group a lot, they'd be like, well, I've heard this talk before. I've heard this message before. And I'd be like, I know you have. And now it's time for you to transition from being a consumer to being an investor. That it's time that you no longer just become a consumer of Catholic products, but now you're a leader in the church. And to help your children see that like, if they don't like youth group, well, then ask them, well, what are you going to do to make youth group better? And absolutely. If they don't like PSR, then what are you going to do to make it better? And I think that is the real question. If you want to raise missionary disciples, young people who are on fire for transforming culture and transforming mm-hmm. the church, call them to leadership. I know when I was a sophomore in high school, I went to our pastor and said, listen, I want to see more vibrant music. And I probably was off. I was definitely off based on what the liturgy should look like.
I want an electric guitar.
But my mom told me, listen, if you want to see something different, then meet with the pastor and talk about it. And we started more youth initiatives. The parish had started like youth lecturing and youth singing, youth worship, all of that, just because I took initiative as a young person. Mm-hmm. And I know that my mom supporting me and challenging me to be a leader when I didn't like things actually made me probably are some of the key roots that made me a lifelong missionary in the church, you know?
Amen. That's a good word. As we wrap up today, I want to move us into to prayer as a family. Dan, when you and I were in college, I remember expressing a desire that each of us were involved in community with St. Paul's Outreach, and had such a high value placed on our times of evening prayer and worship together as a community. I remember having a conversation where you, who still do not play guitar, emphasized that you wanted to learn guitar so that you could lead your family in evening prayer every night, right?
And just as physically impossible for a tone deaf person to play guitar.
So, not to throw Dan under the bus, but here's the deal. I want to start prayer today as we close out this show, speak against the false expectations that we've set for ourselves and to offer encouragement that even if maybe your experience of daily Sunday Mass, your experience of prayer in your family, even your experience of openness to vocations is something that necessarily hasn't been shared by what we've spoken today, that there's no shame in what you've done in your family, and there's no way that God wants you to bear that burden of the fact that things haven't gone the way I had intentioned.
Oh yeah. Definitely. We're going to close in prayer, and I just want to, let's just ask the Father, who is the Father of all families, to anoint us in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Amen. Good and gracious God, we ask that you would father all parents, and that you would father them in their parenthood, that you would father fathers, that you would father mothers, that you would make our parents sons and daughters mm-hmm. of you before they were fathers and mothers, that you would allow them to find their love, their intimacy, their consolation in you as their dad. And Lord, I just pray that you would send special blessings, special graces upon our families. We pray for a supernatural outpouring of signs and wonders to fall upon families, that that healing would take place in homes, that reconciliation would take place in homes and ways, that the broken families would be restored right now in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. We pray for all families whose children have left the faith. Jesus Christ, we know that you are the Lord of those children and that you desire their salvation more than we could ever. And so we just pray that you would bring them home to the church and home to your fatherhood. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You've been listening to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people and launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Encounter is a co-production of St. Gabriel Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. To listen to more episodes of our show, you can visit encounterradio.org or download our podcast, Encounter Radio, or you can go online and sign up to share your life-changing encounter with our audience. Thank you so much. We look forward to hearing from you next week.
Have a blessed week.